Hey guys, this is Jason with Officiating Oklahoma, and this is going to be my first ever podcast. As you can tell, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just, going to be talking to you guys. And talking and getting no response is kind of weird, so it looks like I'm talking to myself, which, if you want to believe it, I'm not crazy. I've been looking around for topics for my first post that I want to get into that maybe everyone can relate to. But I got to looking around on the internet, and some of the things that I discovered was people and states and everywhere else talking about how it's so hard to find officials nowadays. It doesn't matter which sport you're talking about, basketball. Baseball, I mean, just to anything, you hear over and over that it's extremely difficult to find anyone that's going to come out and officiate. A lot of the guys that I call with, I got to recently thinking about, and I was like, you know, I've always been called the pup. I've always been the youngest guy out there, and nothing has really changed. I mean, I first started officiating back when, in the 90s, where they allowed it for people to be at 14 to get certified. You could take your test and you could go out on the field and you could officiate softball at 14 years old. And I remember I would go out there and also back then in the 90s, you got more on-hands training than you do now. Now, today, it seems like all you do is you take a paper test, and then they throw you to the wolves. Anyway, back then, you got so much more training. Training is becoming non-existent nowadays. But anyway, I remember being 14 years old, and, I take my test, I go through the mechanic stuff. I go out on the field with some veterans, and week or two later, I'm on the field calling softball games. Okay, back then in the 90s, I said I started when I was 14 years old, and here I am. I'm going to be 36 this year, and at 14, I was being put out on the field by myself. Now, I was told that, I showed more maturity than most kids my age, but also on the other hand is that being 14 years old and I was put out on a field where I had to, not really officiate kids out there, I was also having to tell adults how to behave. Now imagine this. You put a 14-year-old kid out there. You tell him you're in charge of parents, okay? Say a kid has a child at 19 or 20 years old. By the time they're old enough, they're going to be 5. So you've got a 14-year-old that's out there trying to wrangle 25-year-olds, okay? I would go out on the field, and I don't know if it was because I was thick-skinned or if I had seen it so much by watching my dad officiate that I just was accustomed to it. I mean, I would have the parents yelling at me, the coaches yelling at me, and, everyone else that was around yelling at me. Well, you go out on the field, you send a 14-year-old kid out there, and don't get me wrong, nowadays, I mean, you've got to be 16 to get started, so, 18 and you have to have graduated high school before you can call varsity ball. And it's like, okay, so you're still putting 18 and 16-year-old kids out there to be in charge of adults. Okay? Here's your problem with that, especially with today's day and time about how kids are babied so much. When you put someone that young out onto the field and they're supposed to be in charge of adults, and a majority of the time, adults do not know how to behave when it comes to sports, you have problems, okay? If you send a guy out there that's 16 years old, he gets paid $20 or $25 to officiate that game, which we can talk about later. That amount is ridiculous. And he goes out there and gets yelled at for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half by immature adults that don't realize there's more to life than just a game. Okay? How do you expect for an assigner or a coordinator to have any kind of retention to bring those officials back the next season, or even the next week for that matter? I know the seasons that I got really involved with helping guys assign and do training and that kind of stuff, and I got to tell them, I was, you know, hey, you have got to understand is that out of these, let's say, 10 guys that you bring in new to do this, you're going to get anywhere from 2 to maybe 3 that will return next season. People didn't believe me. I think the best season I ever had was I brought in 8 new people and I had 2 come back. So, I mean, if you think about it, 8, you got 2, that's 25% of them came back, and that was a great number. Okay. You know, the numbers are dwindling every year. We have guys that will, you know, retire every season. You'll have 5 or 6 retire, then you'll have 1 or 2 come in and replace them, and then that next year, those 1 or 2, only maybe 1 comes back, and then you have 1 or 2 come in. Well, at the rate that the older generation is falling off, we're not bringing enough in to keep the numbers up. So that's why you're hearing about how they can't find officials for games. They're having to change varsity football games to where they're being played on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays because there's not officials to spread them out. Okay. okay, so that's going to be one of your main concerns is, you know, you go out and officiate. The guys get yelled at, especially by parents and coaches at all levels that have absolutely no clue about the game. They don't educate themselves. I mean, we constantly get yelled at for stuff. And I mean, yeah, I've done it for over 20 years, and I'll have a coach yell at me for something, and I just kind of grin because I think to myself, you know, I wonder if his rule book is still sealed up in that envelope that it came in, and the book looks brand new. Okay, these things won't be collector's items 100 years from now. Nobody's going to care about what the rules were at this time. Open the thing up and read it. Okay? A lot of the newer guys, you know, they don't like to read. They'd rather hear it from veterans. Well, the other thing is they need to understand is that when these veterans started, how do you know that this veteran didn't get hearsay from another veteran that isn't out of the book? I mean, you've got officials that when I first started, they would tell me things, I'd go and look it up, and that they were telling me wrong. So you've got such a wide latitude of people that don't know what they're talking about when you go out there, but then they think they have the right to yell and get on to you. You know, in all reality, when a coach is hired or he volunteers to coach, he is there to teach the kids how to properly play the game and to educate them in the sport. They are not there to officiate, so they do not care nor look into, you know, the rules. And I also understand, I mean, we'll talk about football a lot because that's one sport I'm really passionate about, but I'll go out and officiate, you know, we'll say 11 to 12 games in a season, and at the end of the season, out of, let's say I do 11 games, I would have met 22 head coaches, and there will be 1 to 3 coaches that are professional and have a general knowledge of the rules that, you know, you'll enjoy being there. You know, it's those younger officials who think they know it all, and then they come out there and begin yelling and screaming at the newer officials. You know, it seems like I spend a lot of my time talking to the coaches about, you know, telling them, hey, you know, I've got a newer guy here. He's a younger official. If you have any problems with him, just talk to me. Don't scream and yell at him. Just talk to me. And the reason I like to leave it at that is because if a coach is yelling and screaming at a newer official, no point is going to get across. That newer official's not going to be receptive to anything. And the other thing is that coach has no idea on the philosophy and rules of the game. So if that coach has a complaint, it would be better off going to a veteran official to talk about the younger one or the newer one. And then let that veteran decide whether or not it needs brought up, and then let him talk to him about it. Okay, so, you know, that's going to be my main thing, is that the coaches are, you know, constantly yelling at the officials, and it's making them not want to come back. Here's the other side of it, is the spectators, okay? Spectators think that it's like their job to, you know, scream at the officials and make themselves look like a lunatic. There's been time and time that I'll go out onto the court or the field, and I'll hear the kids say stuff to me like, man, my, you know, dad is embarrassing. I wish my parents would just stop. I wish they would just leave. And the screaming and yelling and the ludicrous that comes out of the bleachers not only is embarrassing to yourself, but it makes your child embarrassed. I've had kids more than once want a game to be over with so they don't have to be there and hear their parents yell all the time. What the spectator doesn't need to understand is that, their role in this whole thing is a spectator is someone who is a person who watches the game. It doesn't say that the person there that yells and screams. Okay, if you're sitting and watching a game and somebody pulls off an amazing move to get a shot or, you know, makes another great move to gain an extra 4 yards or something, you know, yeah, you should yell for that. You should encourage that. Man, that's exciting stuff. But when a game official does not call a horse collar because they just simply grab the back of their shoulder pads and then let go, and then you yell and scream at an official for 20 minutes and say he's the worst ever, not only does it make you look foolish, but it also hurts us keeping officials. Oh, and by the way, that's not horse collar. When you grab them by the back of the shoulder pads, you got to pull them to the ground. You can't just grab inside there. That's the big thing, is that the new people that come along, they just get yelled and screamed at, and they're not going to show up for $25 an hour just to get yelled at for a game, okay? Let's see, what was my next point going to be? As far as the game goes, okay, in our rule books and, you know, the site administration, their, their timing and events and all that stuff, the games, when officials show up at a game, especially a football game, we are informed that we're supposed to be there an hour and a half before the game starts. When we arrive, we're supposed to be greeted by administration, okay? I think out of the 12 games I had last season, when we arrived at the stadium, we told administration what time we would be there, we would arrive at that time, and we would get greeted once, maybe twice. So when you get there, we're running around trying to figure out where we're supposed to be. We finally find the administrator. We get in there. We're able to start getting our stuff ready so that, you know, referee and the umpire can go talk to the coaches and, you know, do all their preliminary stuff before the game. And it puts everything behind just because site administration is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You make officials feel like they are, an afterthought or, you know, somebody that doesn't matter, when in fact, if we're not there, it's recess. The game means nothing. I mean, we are required to be there. In order for a game to go on, I mean, you have to have a coach plus players and officials. You don't need spectators. You don't need the concession open. You don't need cheerleaders. You don't need any of that other stuff. There's three things that are important, and your administrators are constantly putting forth everything before the officials. Your coaches and your players are going to be there, okay? Your officials, I mean, if they're not there, nothing happens. If one of those three things isn't there, nothing happens. Hospitality. We've gotten to where we'll show up at places and, you know, we'll go to, there's a small town here that's not too far away from me. It's, let me look it up for you. It's called Kanawha. I've been there a few times. I don't really keep up with the classes and the rankings and anyway, it doesn't matter. They don't play 8-man, so they're bigger than that. But they're a pretty small school. But man, when you show up, geez, you get treated well. I mean, okay, say there's a 7 o'clock kickoff. We're supposed to be there at 5:30. So that means we're leaving from, you know, it's a possibility we've had to leave work early. We're leaving our job, say, at 4:30 to get there at 5:30. You get there at 5:30, you do all your pregame, your preliminary stuff, you get dressed, and then you're out on the field before the game to do your pregame routine. You walk around the field. You officiate the game. The game's over with between 10 and 11. Okay. Between 10 and 11, your game's over. You get ready to, you know, basically debrief yourselves on the game. You get dressed. You leave, and it's 11, 11:30 when you leave the stadium. You have not had anything to eat since noon that day, and when that game is over with, you are hungry. A lot of the positions, people don't understand how far they move. But, I mean, I'll do anywhere from 12 to 15,000 steps in the game. And at my position, I do the second most steps. Okay. You go to Kanawha and they will have pop, Gatorade, water, sandwiches. After the game, they've got hamburgers for you. I mean, you get taken care of. They act like they appreciate you being there. Okay. They're bigger schools you go to, and you know, I'm gonna call them out because we always have problems with them, but you go to Shawnee and you get there and you get a bottle of water, and you get there, you get a bottle of water before the game. When the game's over with, they give you the finger as you're leaving, and that's your hospitality. Okay, what they need to realize is that without us, none of this matters. We have taken up, you know, 6 to 7 hours of our day and dedicated it to you guys. And this is how we get treated. All we ask for is, you know, I like something to drink before the game, at halftime, and after the game. Okay? If you need to take, I can't remember how much you can get bottles of water for or whatever, but if you need to take a dollar out of my check to give me 3 bottles of water that you buy from a $2 case that comes with 36 bottles, you know, okay, that's fine. Just take that dollar out, because, you know, when we get there, I'm thirsty. Okay? If you're wanting me to perform a job to my best abilities, then, you know, give me something to drink. You know, we get there and you're paying us $100, which equates into like $14 an hour, and that doesn't include anything we've had to get for the season and all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, officiating sports, you don't make money, you lose money. But the hospitality, you know, is, it's becoming more common that the hospitality is not that great. You don't get treated well when you get there. You're an afterthought and that kind of stuff. But there are some schools that they need some recognition for that. Connell Wall was always great to us. You know, there's, you know, Macomb, Wetumpka, Hera, they're a bigger school. They're usually good to you. But they're constantly making us an afterthought. So you show up at the game and then you're treated like the enemy. So getting yelled and screamed at, you're not making very much money. You're getting treated like the enemy. And then the game times, okay? I understand, yeah, kids have to get a decent amount of sleep before they go to their, you know, before they go to class the next day and that kind of stuff. But, you know, people have a hard time getting baseball umpires. And it's like, okay, think about it. Your games start between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, okay? I will need to get there an hour before the game so I can put all that equipment on and that kind of stuff. And, you know, that way 20 minutes before the game, I'm ready to go. Okay. 4 o'clock start times are not helping. All right. You've got to find a special breed of people that have jobs that let them off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. Okay. Like right now, if somebody needed me to umpire a baseball game, I could not do it. I don't get off in time. I can't be there. It's impossible. Friday night football, that's, you know, for the longest, those were 7:30 start times. Now they're moving them to 7 for some reason. And I think I kind of understand why. Back when I was younger, games started at 7:30, but teams ran the ball more. Now they're throwing a heck of a lot more, and I don't understand that. You'll go read the statistics on teams and stuff, and a quarterback will throw 40 times in a game and complete 12 of them. Okay, your passing game is not effective. Stop doing it. Every time that pass is incomplete, it makes the game less. So much longer. The game's evolving. Let's see what else about it. So we've got the game's evolving. Coaches are coaching differently. They I watch OU on TV, and they think the big thing is that every time you touch the ball, you have to score in 45 seconds, and if you don't, you're unsuccessful, which in all reality, if your offense is scoring that fast and your defense has no time to rest, so they're giving up points, so you're just having to, you know, run this wild thing where you're just trying to score the whole time, and throwing all the time, they think, I guess, speeds it up. You gain more yards, but then there's so many more incomplete passes. It makes the game last longer and that kind of stuff. Anyway, we can talk about that another time, but I think that's going to be your three main topics for this is number one, the huge one, is that coaches and spectators are so disrespectful. And not all of them are. I mean, I know that there are some that are level-headed, but a majority of them are going to be very disrespectful. The second thing is that the pay is not that great. You don't make money doing this, so, you know, why would you go out there and get yelled at for low pay? And then the third thing is that the times that the game start, officials just aren't available at those times. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up this time. Once again, I told you at the start of this, my first podcast, I've never done this before. Supposedly, this hosting service that I'm using, they're telling me that I can have questions sent in to me and stuff like that. And I really have no idea what I'm doing with those yet, but you know, if I figure out how where you guys can leave audio messages, I'll set that up. I'm going to put this on all my platforms that I'm on and see if we can get some comments and, you know, generate some talk and, you know, see if you guys can come up with some things that I didn't think of as to why we can't keep good officials and why we can't get new ones to stay in. Anyway, fellas, this is Jason with Officiating Oklahoma. You guys come up with something, hit me up.